Welcome to the Curious Tech Podcast. This is episode 37 for Wednesday, January 17th, 2018, Geeks with Backpacks. My name is Hobie Hitting, IT support extraordinaire. I'm joined this evening by the queen of digital fab, queen of cats, queen of many things, Devin Rizzo. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Trying to not freeze in the winter wasteland that is Texas right now.
Did y'all actually get snow, or is it just kind of like ice water?
It depends on what part of Texas. Other parts of Texas got snow. Waco got no snow. It was just cold. Like, just stupid cold.
See, supposedly, the Auburn area is getting some snow later tonight, so we're closed tomorrow. We'll see.
Well, supposedly we were supposed to be iced in and snow and sleet and other wet, icky stuff last night. So all the schools closed. Most of the businesses closed. Mm-hmm. It didn't rain. It didn't ice. It didn't anything. It's just cold.
We'll see. It's kind of, it's rained a little bit where I'm at right now. So like everything's damp and it's getting colder. So we're in optimal conditions for actual snow. So, I want to say this time last year it snowed a little bit. Oh, all right. So, actually, is it still CES was last week.
CES is officially over.
It doesn't feel like it ever. It feels like CES was like has been like 2 weeks now. Or maybe last week was just really long.
I don't really know. My past 2 weeks have been a blur of which shop am I supposed to be at right now?
Yes, it's been the beginning of the semester for me. So, like, all sense of, like, space and time has been, like, stretched and compressed. And, you know what I mean? I'm like, what day of the week is this?
Yes, I have 4 tournaments in the next 3 weeks. And I'm just trying to keep my robots in line and in the correct field and in the correct building.
Oh, I understand. I on top of my IT function, role, I've now become like the college video editor on top of that. So, been using iMovie and now I'm kind of leveled up to Final Cut. So, it escalated quickly.
Cat.
Yes, I got a cat covering up my cam. He decided to just scratching himself, and he wants me to hold him while I podcast, which is, he won't stop eating my microphone. Sorry.
Hashtag life with cats.
Yeah, life with over-affectionate, cuddly cats. So, I feel like the big takeaway from CES last week was this was the CES of like digital assistant, and really for the first time in a very long time, Apple didn't really overshadow CES. It seemed like it was really like kind of like Google and cars and Amazon and voice assistants and TVs. So. Is that kind of like your big takeaway? PCs too?
I was mostly focused on the cool robots. But yeah, there was no just main overshadow. It was just a mix of everything.
Mm-hmm. Weird. I guess leading into that a little bit, you've included the Bixby fridge.
Yes, because Bixby.
Yes, you know, the reason you never actually bought a Galaxy S8 was this
button. The reason why I forbade my parents from getting an S8.
Wait, I thought your dad was getting a note.
Yeah, I made him wait.
Oh, why?
Well, he thought he was had an upgrade, but he didn't have an upgrade. And then I was like, Dad, do you really want to pay for Bixby? And he's like, what's Bixby? Think Google Assistant, but lamer.
Oh, and he already doesn't use the assistant, does he?
he already doesn't use the assistant, and so it's like, Dad, you don't want to pay for this, and so he's waiting to see what happens.
I mean, would he get a Galaxy S9 or something like that?
It depends on if the S9 has a Bixby button.
It's going to have a Bixby button.
It probably will.
But it looks like they're moving the fingerprint reader into like a more reasonable spot now.
Yeah.
Because I've played with the S8, and the fingerprint reader is in a stupid area of the phone.
I have fingerprint access into an S8, and I miss it every single time.
It's so high on the phone. You have to, like, stretch your finger.
Most of the time, I miss, and I'm too low, or I hit the camera. And so most of the time, I end up turning the thing upside down, deliberately placing my finger on it, and then turning it back around.
It's hot garbage. I won't lie.
Yeah.
I just... The SmartThings integration on this this fridge sounds cool because like SmartThings works with like every conceivable IoT thing ever. I just wish it wasn't Bixby powering everything. You know, I mean, Bixby's kind of like the front end for all of this. I really just, if it were like Google Assistant with like SmartThings connecting everything, that'd be really cool. But
I'd even be interested in the Siri fridge, but. Bixby?
I just don't... I don't know.
No. Amazon makes everything else. They need to be to have an Alyosha-powered fridge.
I just don't... I've never been, like, super impressed with, like, throwing a screen on top of a fridge. I feel like it's, like... Throwing a screen is, like, putting a screen on, like, a gas pump. I kind of find it annoying.
Really?
Yeah, like, I've never been, like, people are, like, really fascinated by this, but I've just never really been into, like, throwing a screen. I'd rather, like, a screen be out somewhere else in the kitchen. You know, I mean, in a more optimal, like, part of the kitchen.
Oh, well, I don't really care about the screen. I really care about more that the SmartThings enabled has those cameras, and so you can look inside your fridge. It's like, when you're in the middle of the milk aisle, it's like, do I have milk or do I not have milk? And you can just open up your phone and be like, oh, hey, there's no milk carton in here. I probably should grab some while I'm here.
Okay, well, that's pretty cool.
That's the feature I care about. I really don't care if there's a screen on it or not.
I just feel like it'd be kind of neat to have like another assistant microphone and maybe some speakers. Instead of having, like, you know what I mean, like an Echo or a Google Home Mini in your kitchen, maybe, but... I don't know. I've seen some smart fridges. I haven't really been impressed by the Samsung ones at Best Buy.
Toby, you need a smart fridge.
I'm good. I really want my smart fridge to have, like, like the XKCD version of a smart fridge that you put items in your fridge. In like chronological order, and it's like a conveyor belt that kind of goes downwards, and then at the very bottom of the conveyor belt is a trash. See, that automatically trashes like expired milk.
That'd be nice.
So I would get behind that smart fridge.
That or one that could sense how long leftovers had been in there.
Yes. I have some leftover pizza from, like, last week I need to throw out. Oh, man. Actually, speaking of Samsung, I skipped over it initially, but it looks like, basically, in-display, like, Touch ID and fingerprint readers is maybe a thing next year, later this year. So instead of having to have a fingerprint reader on the back of your phone, you could just have it built into the display itself.
Yeah, it's a company called Vivo. They're based out of China. They just announced their Synaptics optical sensor, which is essentially a fingerprint reader that you can put in a screen.
Mm-hmm. You can place it anywhere under the screen, from what I understand. You can't make the entire... I don't think the entire thing is a fingerprint reader, but it's like a... kind of, you know, where the home button would be.
Yeah.
So, it's really cool. I like it a lot. And then, I don't know. Do you think Samsung's going to go with it at one point?
I think so.
I would like this design very much so.
I would too.
I have mixed feelings because, like, it would mitigate the need to, like, not have something like Face ID, which means you wouldn't have the horns on the iPhone. But on the other hand, like, I feel like Face ID has its own advantages. So, I don't know. I have mixed feelings. So, I don't know. Who do you think is going to be the first person that actually implements this other than this no-name brand?
Samsung.
That'll probably be an entire year, you think?
I think the S9 will have it.
Everything I've seen about the S9 is they're going to have the back reader.
Mm.
I don't think it's going to be ready for the S9.
Okay, then...
Maybe OnePlus?
Maybe, because I know it won't be Apple, because they're very strongly pushing for Face ID.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, they'll have to develop their own technology for it anyway, because they're Apple.
Maybe.
So, yeah, maybe OnePlus or LG?
Motorola, maybe? Nah, Motorola. Cap. trying to think of who else. Because is HTC even making Android phones anymore?
I don't think so.
Maybe the next Pixel. Do you think that Google would do this for the Pixel 3?
I see that, but isn't Google I/O not till like May or April?
It's not, but they normally don't do the phones until October.
Oh, then yeah, I could see that because that'd be like 10 months or so.
Mm-hmm. I bet you OnePlus does it, and I give it a 50-50 shot for the Pixel.
Yeah. If not for the S9, the S10 will definitely have it.
This looks really cool technology, though. And it's fast, too, which is neat. Interesting. Okay. Alright, looks like there's a new automatic feeder that can tell the difference between your pets. I don't know why this really made the final show notes. I found it more interesting of, like, the person holding up the stuffed cat.
I thought you got rid of this article.
Oh, I had two, like, smart pet feeder things. But, yeah, apparently it's, like, a smart pet feeder with, like, AI.
Cat facial recognition?
Yeah, pretty much. It's kind of a weird, it's like a shape of an egg, like, sliced open, and it has, like, a little waterfall of water, and then food, depending on the pet. It's, 470 or 580 for black.
And it also has this green underglow-looking thing.
I don't get the underglow part, you know what I mean? Why is this?
It's a machine. Any machine automatically gets coolness factor if it has underglow.
My favorite part of this entire article is for the cat's pet is someone has a small stuffed cat. They're simulating the cat
drinking water.
So, good if you have multiple pets. Yeah. Um,
Well, it looks like it's also end of the world proof.
Just the shape looks awkward, and
it's got some underglow issues.
Yeah, like the tech is kind of neat, but like the water fountain could really be separate. I'm just worried. Like, how do you? I mean, how do you clean that? Because I'm like, it has water and it has food in it, so you're gonna have to clean it at one point, which means you're that probably 30-pound. Okay, we need to stop dissecting this weird cat pad. But the
just buy one first, engineer it.
Yeah, I'm gonna buy
a $500 weird egg so that I can take it apart.
What is? What?
What? Where are you?
I have an ad on The Verge from Chewy.com, which I get is
they deliver pet food.
Well, one of the things is Meowawana. Passion catnip buds, and it looks like cat pop. It looks like a container of cat pop.
Are you sure it's not catnip?
It's catnip, but it looks like pot. Like marijuana. I'm just like, this is not a good thing to be selling in Alabama, because it is definitely not legal in Alabama, and it looks like marijuana. Like you get from a dispensary. It just popped up because like robotic litter boxes, a cat stand, a wig that makes your cat look like Princess Leia, cat pop. Because I guess they figure that if you're thinking about buying a $500 IoT cat food dispensing egg with afterglow, you probably need to get high with your cat.
Hey, but they also make cat wine too, so you can
for the
get gross with your cat too.
For the most elegant of cat ladies.
Yes. This is goals, Hobie. Have some wine, give some to Pixel too.
Hashtag life goals.
Who needs engineering degrees?
So you included the Cosmo bike.
Light.
Bike light. What is this?
It is a light that bicyclists can mount to their helmet. And so it is kind of ovaly, and it has 8 LEDs, and it has an accelerometer in it that can tell when you're braking, and it will, like, you know, warn other cyclists and drivers that, hey, I'm slowing down, just like car brake light. But then it also has a companion app with the accelerometer in it. It doubles as a fall sensor, so if you take this while you are mountain biking or something, it can trigger emergency services with, hey, I accidentally rode my bike off a cliff.
Oh, okay. It looks like they have a motor
hit by a car.
Interesting. It looks like they have a motorbike version as well, or like a motorcycle.
Oh, okay.
They are French, and I can't read anything on their website.
I also do not speak French, so I'm not going to try.
It looks like there's some kind of monthly fee you can pay for. Maybe, like, if you, like, get in a car wreck. I'm trying to open up Chrome real quick and see if I can throw this thing through Google Translate and figure out what the heck the monthly fee is for.
Okay, then.
Let's see. It's translated. Oh, yeah. Like you said, there's, like, a emergency assistance that if you get in an accident, it'll pay for your motorbike to be towed, and then they'll pay for your taxi to get wherever you need to get.
Oh, well, that sounds like fun.
Mm-hmm. There is a freedom option for €9, or actually, yes, €9. There's a cool option that's €8, and a road option. Or twinkle. I don't know what the cool and road options are, but it looks interesting. I guess, I mean, especially if you're like a motorcycle, I guess it's a good idea. I wonder, I guess for like someone on a bike, I don't know. The Cyclops eyes on cars have mixed results, so I don't know how useful it's going to really be, to be honest with you. Versus like a normal like LED that you put on the back of your something blinking on the back of your bike. There have been surveys that they're kind of like the Cyclops eye on a back of a car. That initially, whenever they introduced that, it reduced the number of wrecks. But over time, people got acclimated to seeing that third light, and the effectiveness of that third light kind of dropped down. So
yeah,
I don't know how useful it's going to be on a motorcycle. I guess more visibility the better, but we'll see. What is this next one?
A 146-inch TV.
How big do you have to stand back to see
to
that?
To watch this thing? It's called The Wall from Samsung.
I mean,
it's big.
I couldn't put this in my apartment. It would be too big. I would be like watching House of Cards, and my head would be going back and forth, keeping up with stuff on the screen, and I would get whiplashed whenever they pan the camera too fast.
Well, it's concept, but Samsung probably has very real plans to commercialize this ginormous TV.
More importantly, it runs off of micro LED.
Okay, and that means again.
Similar to the way that OLED emits light, but it does not require a backlight.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. So apparently it looks amazing. It's like the next step beyond OLED. It allows it to create it's like an LED technology. Since it doesn't require a backlight, you can get like the really deep blacks and colors that OLEDs normally have. And OLEDs are OLEDs are a lot more expensive than LEDs anyway. But also, with the micro LED, it can also get incredibly bright versus OLED, because OLED can be a little dark, a little on the dark side. If you ever notice with like an Android phone?
Yeah. Well, with this giant TV, it probably will have a proportional price whenever they go to commercialize it.
Oh man, this is like the Shaq TV.
This is one of those TVs that go in a personal home theater at your getaway mansion in Canada.
Yeah, it's like 4K was 10 years ago. I think, probably in 10 years we'll have this technology at Best Buy, but it's going to be a hot minute.
Yeah.
I feel like 4K is just getting to the point it's affordable now.
Yeah, my dad desperately wants a 4K TV.
Oh gosh, all of my friends are buying them now, and they're like, this is so amazing! You should buy one, Obi! My 4K TV is so amazing! I was like, but I have to buy a laptop later this year. I can't afford a 4K TV and a laptop.
Fine, just buy a 4K laptop.
Maybe.
That's what I'm doing.
Oh, it's
eventually.
It's snowing.
Oh, hey. Really?
Yeah.
What? I want picture proof.
I will let it. I'm gonna let it snow a little bit, but it's covering the cars now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, like Olivia's watching the snowflakes fall.
He's probably never seen snowflakes before.
Oh no, he has. Whenever it started snowing really heavy last year, for like an hour or two, it really freaked him out because like it sounds different from rain. He's like, "What is this noise?"
When it snowed on New Year's this year for us, I went and got a bowl of snow and tried to have Pixel play with it, and he wanted nothing to do with the cold, mushy stuff.
The cutest nope ever. Ah, yay, snow. Okay. Oh, really? I like the snack.
Cold over here, but it is dry. It's 18 degrees, and we have no snow.
Huh. So it looks like Google Pay is going to be the new name for Android Pay.
Looks like it.
It looks like they're rolling a Google Wallet and Android Pay into one coherent service called Google Pay, which makes way more sense. I don't know why it's been two separate services until now. I've been using Apple Pay a lot more recently. How about you?
I've noticed it in a few more places, and to where it's like, oh, I know for sure that the grocery store takes it, Best Buy takes it, Freebirds takes it,
yeah,
the pet store takes it, and so I can say, hey, stop by here on the way home. And even though I don't have my wallet on me, I can still go in buy stuff because I have my phone with me.
Mm-hmm. We actually have vending machines around the college that support it now, which is really cool. And there's a local gas station near me that also supports Apple Pay too.
Yeah. Not fishing my wallet out of my backpack.
See, I like doing it on my watch. I actually use Apple Pay on my watch more than anything else, really.
Yeah, for those who have NFC on their watch.
Well, another cool thing is I like how their different websites and applications are going to start supporting Google Pay, kind of like on Apple Pay. My cat is very confused right now at all the white stuff. Application developers for like in-app purchases for like Airbnb and Fandango, Hungry Howie's, Instacart, renting movies from YouTube. You'll be able to use Google Pay for that too.
What are you doing?
Wow. It's actually snowing in Alabama.
Picture.
Oh, okay. Picture. Well, probably video would be better.
Probably, actually.
Video. I'll be as fast. Oh, wow. It's actually kind of coming down pretty heavy now.
Go make a snow angel mid-podcast.
Like, our cars are getting covered. This is neat. Sorry, listeners who actually live up north, this is a fairly regular occurrence.
We live in the south and have seen this maybe 10 times in our lives combined.
Yeah, I'm always walking around the apartment. I sent it to you in Telegram.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Shoot. I cannot see snow falling, but oh wow, it's like really covered on your cars.
Yeah. This is gonna be neat.
Wow. Like, go out in your balcony and like play in it.
Oh, no, no, I'm good. It's cold.
Hey, don't get sick like my entire family did.
But anyway, no, going back to Google Play,
hey.
You can make it snow with cash. Sorry.
I'm partially dying for this podcast.
But that is one of the coolest things about Apple Pay, is being able to use it for like in-app purchases. Especially for like websites. So I see like right here Chrome is going to support it, which is really cool. So like whenever you, if you go to like buy something online, you can just use Google Pay as like another credit card. So like whenever I buy stuff from the Apple Store app, for instance, like a new watch band, instead of using like my Discover card or my Compass card, I can just use Apple Pay. And since like Google Play and Apple Pay also serve like work as like a little mini like debit card or gift card, whenever over Christmas I actually helped my friend buy a like the iPhone battery case for his wife on the sly, so it went showed up on their bank statement, and he refunded me with Apple Pay, so I had like $120 in Apple Pay cash. And anywhere that I accepted NFC payments, I was able to just tap, and it was kind of like a virtual gift card. So I used it.
You seem to be like this year's virtual Santa Claus.
I am, basically. I bought so.
You bought gifts for your friend's wife. You bought stuff for my dad.
I like the black market for Christmas gifts. but yeah, I think that's pretty cool. I really like NFC payments. I think they're awesome. So I use them like all over the place now. So, and I'm happy that like as a tech society, we've like everyone's kind of decided on like using NFC, like using the same technology for these wireless payments. So. Anyway, sorry. Tangents aside. I see that you posted 2 wireless headphones.
Yes, I did.
So
one is cool, the other one is like, hey, finally.
Okay, so the which one do you want to talk about?
Alright, so I'm gonna start with the Anker ones. Anker is that one company that everyone loves now because they make third-party cables that are not sketchy and they don't suck, and they're pretty cheap.
That are reasonably priced quality accessories, which is kind of hard to find sometimes on the internet.
Yes, and they just announced that they are in the last stage of their crowdfunding campaign for their truly wireless headphones called, or earbuds called Zolo.
Mm-hmm.
Weird name, but okay. They are going on sale later this month for $150.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty cheap in the wireless headphone realm of things.
When you mean wireless, you mean these are truly wireless earbuds?
Yeah, they're
right?
Truly wireless. There's no cables. It's just, you know, two little E-shaped things.
Yeah, they're like the AirPods, basically.
Yes. And they are going to be using Bluetooth 5.
Oh, nice.
Instead of Bluetooth 4.2.
So, practically, what does that mean? It's better sound quality?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fast.
And lower latency and all of that.
Yeah.
I like how they come with a different ear tip. As some people complain about that with the ear pods, that if they don't fit their ear, they're kind of screwed.
Yeah. it supposedly has 24-hour battery life. Wait, no.
That's the case.
That's the case. The units have 3.5 hours, and then the case has 24 hours.
Hmm.
And then 15 minutes of charging will get you an hour of playback.
Yeah, so I mean, my AirPods are kind of the same way. I get about 4 to 5 hours with my AirPods, and then I pop them back in the case for a few minutes, and they get topped off. So basically, my AirPods are pretty much always charged.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I remember at the very beginning of the podcast, like a year ago, mm-hmm. I was so just anti-wireless headphones. And now that I don't have them anymore, I miss them. I really miss them.
I know, it's
it's hilarious.
You get used to like the freedom of like not having to worry about like tangling up with wires or the wires getting caught on doorknobs or, you know, I mean, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So are you going to buy a pair of the Zolo?
Maybe. Honestly, this just really depends on what phone I get and stuff like that.
Gotcha. You also it's
a tech purchase, so I'm going to wait until it has 3 months of reviews from every major tech site before I buy them.
Mm-hmm. You also included the Jabra wireless.
Yes. I included those because they, like 85% of everything else that was announced at CES this year, are assistant-enabled, and these have Alexa built in.
Oh, and it looks like they get 5 hours of charge.
Yeah. They are also truly wireless.
I don't care about the assist. I don't care about Alyosha.
Yeah.
Just because I prefer Google Assistant now.
I do too. But truly wireless.
Yeah. Oh. Hold on. No. They have one touch access. It's not an independent thing. But they do have one touch access to Google Assistant. And Siri. So I guess you hit the button and you can trigger Siri or Alyosha or Jeeves.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Well,
both products have touch controls with pause play on the right and volume on the left.
Yeah. The active version is water sweat proof and has an integrated accelerometer for tracking activities in their own companion app. The base model is $170, and the active version is $190.
Honestly, I would actually get these over the Anchor, to be honest with you. The extra 2 hours of extra hour and a half of battery life would really push us.
Make it worth it for only for an extra $20.
I think so, and then, I like the one touch button, kind of like the AirPods do.
Yeah,
for Google Assistant access, I would almost pay a little bit more. Oh, these are Bluetooth 5.0 as well.
Oh,
I would almost pay the extra $40 to get the sport models.
Active, yeah, I would buy the sport model
just to get the waterproofing. Or the sweatproof or whatever.
Yeah. Or actually, I'd be more concerned with dustproof, but...
It looks like you do get a warranty as well. You get a 2-year warranty and get sweat and dust.
Oh, okay. So when these fall out of my ears into a bucket of sawdust...
Yes. I think I just found your next pair of headphones.
I think you might have too. Considering my beats are pretty much shot.
Well, so yeah, the cool thing is, like, even though they only get 5 hours each, you can use them independently. So if you want to walk around with one of them in your ear, you can do that. I do that a lot whenever I'm, like, cleaning my apartment or I'm at work and I'm listening to a podcast while I walk or, check on different stuff. That way I can kind of be aware of my actual environment around me. That, and then whenever one of them dies, I can just pop in the other room. You get that option, too.
Yeah.
No, I really like these, and at 5 hours, I think that's the sweet spot for these type of headphones. So, very cool. That's good to know. I'll have to pass it on to some of my other Android loving friends. And really iPhone loving friends too, because Jabra makes some good stuff. They have for a few years now. Oh, very cool. That's a good find. All right. Speaking of assistants, it looks like this year Alyosha is coming to Windows 10 PCs. Several OEMs are building Alyosha right into their laptops, so you don't even have to be logged in to trigger her with the hot word. So, I want to say Lenovo is doing it, and so is HP for their consumer ones. And they've also announced a Alyosha desktop app as well.
Yeah, it is HP, Lenovo, Asus, and Acer.
Oh, wow. Combined with the, I don't know if it's a leak or an announcement that Cortana is actually getting moved out of Windows Search and into the notification pane. It's almost like, and I know Microsoft has a partner, is going to be partnering with Amazon. Do you think Cortana is going to be is really long for this word, or do you think that maybe Alexa is going to take over as like the digital assistant for Windows?
I think Alyosha is going to take over. Because if Cortana was gonna kick off, it would have kicked off by now.
Mm-hmm. And it would be one thing if Microsoft had like a mobile platform, but Apple can keep going with Siri because like they have the iPhone and the Apple Watch, so they have that mobile play, but. I mean, Cortana's really just like a front-end interface to like a whole bunch of back-end services anyway. So I can see kind of like web browsers, Microsoft allowing people to pick, do you want to use Cortana or do you want to use Alyosha?
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm kind of more excited about having Alyosha on a Windows PC than I am Cortana, because it's just, there are way more skills and it's a lot more capable. And I think it'd be kind of cool just to, have my laptop as one more microphone or speaker for Alyosha. Makes me wonder when Google's going to include the Google Assistant in Windows now.
That'd be fun.
That would be the one that I would really want. Alyosha's pretty cool, but if I could get Google Assistant on a Dell XPS 15, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. We need one hot word to rule them all.
Let the assistants talk to the assistants.
Yes. Googlio talks to Alyosha over there. Cortana and Siri are going to have a fling later on in life.
It'll be interesting, but yeah, this year has definitely been like the year of the digital assistants. I see that we didn't end up removing. ended up not removing the Loundroid from the show notes. It is a $16,000 robot that uses artificial intelligence to sort and fold laundry, but you still have to kind of fold it yourself.
Yes, and it is extremely buggy. But this is the part of the podcast where I throw in cool robot, because cool robots.
This isn't a cool robot. This is just like Devin's fantasy world, because you hate doing laundry.
This is part of my fantasy because I can't stand doing laundry. But still, for $16,000, it half folds your clothes.
It half folds them. Not all the way.
Well, it only works with certain items and of certain sizes. And it takes 10 minutes to fold a single t-shirt.
Really? I missed that aspect of it. The 10-minute
part. Yeah. 10 minutes. 10 minutes.
I like how big it is. It's like the size of a fridge. And yeah, these product shots have it sitting literally in the middle of a living room. It's like, here, come, watch my smart robot fold this t-shirt for 10 minutes. Look at all the wealth that I have.
But it has clothing recognition. So you could, in theory, it will have an assistant tied in, and you can ask it, hey, Laundroid, is my robot team shirt in there? Of course, then at that point, if I asked that, it would spontaneously combust. Considering I have 5 teams in active season right now. But in theory, it will keep track of every piece of clothing that has been analyzed by the Laundroid with its companion app.
Oh boy. This is so special.
The Laundroid?
Yes. It's just my brain can't even. it really takes it over the top being $16,000. Oh man.
You need this in your life, Obi.
Yeah. Like I do need Qualcomm's new chipset that will give wireless earbuds longer battery life and smarts, which I guess tie into the other stories we're talking about.
Kind of.
So hopefully later this year means maybe the Pixel Buds 2 will be truly wireless and have 65% better battery life. And maybe give like other headphones the ability to do automatic music pausing, kind of like the AirPods can do. Most importantly, these little chips that go into headphones have a or dual 120 megahertz CPU cores, which means you could probably run Doom in your headphones.
Wait. What?
Yeah, they're dual core. These are. I'm sorry, I guess they're single core 120 megahertz CPUs.
It's 2018. We thought we'd have flying cars, but we actually have tiny supercomputers in our earbuds.
I think I would have to go back and look it up to see like how powerful the AirPods processor are. But I think if you combine the processing power of both AirPods, the AirPods are actually more capable than the processor that was in the original iPhone, which is kind of crazy.
That is kind of crazy.
That in my ear right now, I have more power than the very first iPhone. Oh, wow. What a world. Here's, this weird dishwasher that you like a lot. What is this?
This is Tetra. Tetra is a square. It is a millennial product. It's meant to fit in tiny apartments, and it is a countertop dishwasher. So you just stick it on the counter, you plug it into a standard outlet, and it can do your dishes.
So you just pour water in it?
You just put water in it, just like a coffee pot.
Okay, so you don't have to run like a tube to it or anything, like a water tube to it.
You don't have to do anything. It's just plugging in like any other kitchen appliance and add water and soap. And the soap thing apparently lasts for like a bunch of washes.
Interesting. Oh, and
it only takes 10 minutes to do a cycle.
Oh, interesting. And it's it looks like it can do 10 plates or 12 pint glasses, bowls, cups, and it's only $300.
Yeah, and then something about exciting minerals in hot water. But apparently it is sterile enough that you can use it to sterilize things, do dishes, clean the fruit, cook seafood, or potentially even wash a piece of clothes.
I don't know about washing clothes in it, but that's,
You could steam a fish. Or a pork.
But could I cook Tide Pods in it?
No, do not cook your Tide Pods in your IoT, dishwasher.
But they look so delicious.
Hey, I saw somebody on Twitter made Tide Pod cookies.
I introduced my boss to the Tide Pod challenge today.
I've been using Tide Pods for like 3 or 4 years now. I have never, ever felt the desire to eat one.
You've never had the desire to
eat one? I had the urge to eat a Tide Pod? Yeah. No. I have thrown one against the wall.
They're so squishy.
I've thrown one at people's heads. I've never eaten one.
They look like delicious poison.
They do look like gushers.
They do. That's what they remind me of. And they're squishy, so.
But they're also sticky.
Yeah, they're kind of.
Yeah.
Oh.
Not eat soap.
Speaking of other things you shouldn't eat, Affleck has a toy robot for kids facing cancer.
Yes, this little robot is just, it's something I wish I had when I was little, honestly. So, it doesn't have Wi-Fi, it doesn't have an assistant, it doesn't have any cameras, it's just a little duck, and it has some touch sensors on it, and kids in the hospital can pet it and snuggle it, and it will snuggle back or kind of quack at them. And then it has an RFID reader in its belly, and it comes with some emoji discs, and you can stick the emoji disc on the duck, and it can convey to the doctor how they're actually feeling that day. And then it also has an accessory IV. So if they are going through chemo or something like that, it will go into, like, a soothing mode. And then it also has a rocket ship. And when you pair the rocket ship to it, it will, it plays, like, a sound gate kind of thing, so it turns into, like, a noise machine to kind of just take them out of the hospital and into a more happy place.
Aw, and it's a duck that you can hold.
Yeah, and it's a cute duck, too.
So, it looks like the My Special Aflac duck won't be commercially available, but it says Aflac that it's committed to provide the duck for free to kids, children diagnosed with cancer, which is good.
Yeah, and I never had cancer as a kid, but I was in and out of hospital. Doctors in the hospitals a lot when I was little, and something like this would have been so comforting.
Plus, it's the duck beak.
Cool duck.
Most kids like ducks.
Quack.
Quack. Okay. Speaking things that are that make me go quack. Actually, that was a really bad transition.
That was a really bad transition, Hobie. I've never known you to quack while you're at Best Buy.
I just go around Best Buy making duck noises.
No, you go around Best Buy threatening to strangle the blue shirts when they ask you 35 times in 5 minutes if you need any help today.
And then when I do need help for something, none of them are ever around.
Or know what the hell you're talking about.
Yes. Or, yeah. Oh, gosh. Let's not go into blue shirt conversations. We could be here for an hour and a half about dumb conversations I've had with Best Buy reps. So, other than IoT fridges and smart assistants, CES is a time of year that always brings us a new batch of laptops. Lenovo had some more USB Type-C stuff, camera covers on their ThinkPads, very iterative. HP has some stuff too, but to be honest with you, I'm not a big fan of HP style, so I'm ignoring them. Dell's kind of like my game, sorry, my brand, my special brand for my special eye.
Hashtag brand.
Hashtag brand. As I reach into the sunset.
The snowy set.
The snowy set. Dell announced a new XPS 15 2-in-1 with a keyboard that has more travel than a 13-inch MacBook Pro. This is really kind of like the anti-MacBook Pro. So it's a 15-inch. It has a normal assortment of ports to it, micro SD card slot, USB Type-C. You can get one with 16 gigs of RAM or 4K touchscreen. It does have a headphone jack. It has a 360-degree hinge as well. Starts at $1,300. It has that edge-to-edge screen. It looks really cool. It's way more powerful than the normal Dell XPS 13. Unfortunately, I think it has integrated graphics, which makes it a hard sell for me, but it looks really cool. I think for most people. Interesting. Oh, this also has the Intel CPU-GPU RAM combo chipset. So it's the Intel processor with AMD graphics. So the integrated graphics should be a lot more capable than a traditional machine with integrated graphics. It's not like having a full GPU, but it's a heck of a lot better than integrated graphics. So for most people, this may be plenty, actually. For what I do, this may be plenty. Unless you're like living in CAD most of the day or editing video for like 8 hours a day, you do like a video project every now and then. That's probably plenty.
Yeah, I just now started doing a bunch of video editing because I bought a GoPro on Black Friday, and it's like, oh wow, rendering video takes a lot of RAM.
Yes, it does.
Every time I open up editing software, my fans just go like, okay, now don't explode.
Realistically, this has equivalent performance to a GeForce GTX 1050, which is like having a 4 gig graphics card in. So, I mean, if you have the model of 16 gigs of RAM, I mean, for most people, this is probably plenty. And if you didn't live in CAD, if you were just doing video editing, this would probably be plenty for your video editing that you do.
Yeah, but I live in CAD.
Yeah, so you live in CAD. But if you didn't live in CAD all the time, I mean, actually for me, this may be enough, to be honest with you. If I got the RAM with 16 gigs of RAM. I don't know how useful a 15-inch tablet is. That's really big in my book. But it is edge to edge, so maybe the I can't tell, but is it me, or is the chassis a little bit smaller than a normal 15-inch?
The chassis is smaller than a 15-inch because it has the edge-to-edge. It's a 15-inch laptop and a 14-inch body.
Oh, okay. That may not be as unreasonable. I mean, that may just be about the size of, like, an iPad Pro, like, the big iPad Pro.
Yeah, which, like, everybody but, like, yeah. Pretty much everyone likes that. It just makes it a little bit smaller. Which makes it a tiny bit less weight.
This will be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing, like, the performance benchmarks on this new Intel chipset. So, they're quad-core with a AMD Radeon GPU with dedicated RAM. Weird. So it is a discrete GPU.
I don't know. This color combo, though.
This is weird. Okay, so it's like integrated graphics, but the integrated graphics has its own dedicated RAM to it, like a traditional separate GPU would. Weird. What were you saying about the colors? I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
The white and gold. It's weird, but Dell is claiming that you can just wipe it off.
Oh, that's for the 13-inch. sorry, back us up, Devin. What's going on?
Oh, did I switch to a different machine without even realizing it?
Yes, you did. Please,
my bad.
So they also announced a white XPS 13. So one that comes in silver and rose gold and I guess white.
Yeah, it's white. It's white. Yeah, it's white, and the external is gold.
Oh no! Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
my old. That is weird.
That is an abomination.
I mean, from the pictures, I know it's carbon fiber and it's super nice, but from pictures that I'm seeing, it looks like a cheap kid's toy.
I think it'll look a lot better in person. I had a white MacBook, and that thing was a really awesome laptop, and it was white like this. But yeah, the white MacBook did have a problem of like staining.
Well, this claims that if you get permanent marker, mustard, or other staining materials on the wipe surface, you'll be able to wipe them off in a week.
Mustard is a big one, I guess. For people who eat on top of their laptops, I don't eat on top of my laptop. But the anti-stain stuff is good, because, like, sometimes, like, if I ever, like, cut my finger, I remember my freshman year, I, like, got a paper cut on my finger, and I was, like, topping a paper. And I looked at my keyboard, and my entire keyboard was red. And I was like,
Yeah, blood or Sharpie.
And I didn't realize there was rose gold on the lid for the white one. That's really disappointing.
No, it's not rose gold. It's regular gold.
Is it right? Oh, like copper gold?
Yeah.
I would have to see it in person. Because, like, apples is, like, a neutral kind of gold. Like, I've seen apples new gold, and I'm fine with it. It's not my favorite color, but I'd be okay with, like, using a gold Apple phone. But from these fresh shots, like, this one looks... actually, hold on. Do I have night shift turned on? I do have night shift turned on. Hold on. Oh, okay, yeah, that's more coppery.
Yeah, it's copper gold.
Okay. I had night shift turned on my Mac, so it made it look, more rose gold than it was. That's not as bad. Still not. I would still probably get with the black and silver one. I wish they would have fixed the webcam. I mean, I would be okay if they added a little extra bezel to the top.
Yeah, that just seems like you'd get some rather unattractive shots.
Right up somebody's nose.
Right up someone's nose or right in a woman's chest, and that seems like it'd be uncomfortable in a conference call.
So awkward. I mean, that's like it. The XPS 13 is like the perfect Windows like ultra portable laptop. It is like the easiest recommendation you can make as a tech geek of like, hey, if you want a good overall Windows laptop, except for the, you know, the camera up your nose part. That's the only thing they really had to fix, and they didn't fix it.
And then
I'm just like, okay, the mustard part is cool, Dell, but like, can you fix the up the nose part?
That or how big of a problem is getting mustard on your laptop that they actually had to address this?
I mean, we're doing cool things with materials, so I felt like that would have just happened anyway, but I felt like every time there's any time there's a Dell XPS review, whether it's the 13 or the 15 inch, everyone's like, this is a great laptop, ergonomics are great, screen is great, the no bezels are great, performance is great, value is great. Oh, we like everything except the webcam, because it projects right up our nose.
Maybe Dell just is concerned about everyone's internal nose health.
You should get your nose checked out.
Or it's Nose Hair Awareness Day. I don't know.
thinking of stuff that needs to grow out into a full... Actually, I'm sorry, I'm really off of the transitions today. I was thinking about, like Android growing into a mustache, like, flourishing into a proper mustache. Actually, mustaches don't come from the nose, like, they're the lip.
Are you like a duck or something?
No, you can tell I don't grow any facial hair, because I've never had a mustache.
You're a man, you should know how facial hair works.
I shave, so I never need to worry about that.
But you shave, so you should know what part of your face hair is sprouting out of.
That's always the first part that I shave, though, because like, I hate mustaches and I never want to remotely have one. Anyway, speaking of horrible transition, so I'm going to talk about all the Android Wear watches that got announced. Because you're still on your hunt for a perfect Android Wear watch. Replace your beloved Moto 60 that's slowly dying. Painfully dying.
My watch is painfully dying on me. Between the cracked screen and the just ever so draining battery. It's time. So, Scallion.
It's not Scallion. It's not Scallion. I can tell you that.
You're the one who said Scallion. Now I'm thinking Scallion.
You're the one who says Scallion.
No, you said Scallion at first.
Fair enough.
Like 2 hours ago.
Sure.
Okay, fine. Danish brand, whatever, fake skin, is announcing their first touchscreen smartwatch. And it's called the Falster. It runs Android Wear, and it's a connected hybrid. And it's available for $275 later this month. It is minimalist, very thin, the design is thin.
It's a fully
but the
circuit.
Actual watch itself is thick. It's 42 millimeter case, has a single button.
Oh, wow. No NFC, no GPS, or no heart rate.
Yeah, it's minimalist in features.
It's definitely a designer watch. I mean, it looks nice. Just, I like to have my smart watch to have a little bit more, like, fancy stuff.
Yeah, this is almost the perfect watch.
What is it missing for you? The NFC?
NFC. And, like, I could do with no NFC if it had heart rate. Or no heart rate if it had NFC. But it doesn't have heart rate, GPS, NFC, fitness, activities. Like, it just doesn't have much.
It's really like a... Yeah, I mean... I can see for some people that They don't care about any of that kind of stuff, and that's fine. So.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, Android Wear's... I think, like, one of their sales is like, hey, Android Wear's cheap enough, you could you could have this watch and a sports watch, maybe.
Yeah, but for $275, like...
Yeah, the Apple Watch is a much better sale at this price.
Yeah. And the other watch that I saw was the Kate Spade watch. And I really, really, really want to like this watch.
Really? See, I didn't nail you for this watch at all. I thought you were going to reject it.
No, like, really, it's a touchscreen watch. It looks like my Moto 360. It's a little on the girly side because it has that scalloped bezel.
See, I didn't even know what that was called. I'm impressed that you knew what that was.
I didn't until I put two and two together.
Oh, gotcha.
Like I said, it's a little on the girly side. But that's not... Like, I don't hate it.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't like is the color scheme.
The focus on gold.
Yeah, it's gold.
Do they not have, like, any other colors, maybe?
No, the body is gold.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, the body is gold, and it is also has no NFC, no GPS, no heart rate sensor.
I thought it had basics tracking.
It might have basics tracking.
Small round pucks. It does have ambient light sensor. It is a full 360 degree screen, though, which is nice.
Yeah, that would be a nice upgrade.
Looks like it should have 24 hours of battery life, so that's better battery life. That's cool. And it says it has basic activity tracking, which to me tells me it does steps. But no, it doesn't have a GPS, heart rate, or NFC.
Yeah. So one thing that's kind of cool, a feature I'd never use, but the average female would probably love, it has an app called Choose Your Look. And the app will ask it a series of questions, like what time it is, what kind of jewelry you're wearing, color of your purse, color of your outfit, and then it will generate a watch face that will complement the rest of your outfit.
I mean, that's clever. For people who are interested in, like, fashion, that's clever.
Yeah. Would I ever use that app? No, I don't own a purse. But, and I guess it matters for some people.
So, where do you stand with Android Wear now? Do you have a watch that you're looking at?
What was that one Huawei watch that we were looking at?
The Huawei Watch 2?
Yeah, that one and the Fossil Q something or other I'm looking at.
Okay. Oh, yeah, the Fossil Q something or other. Because they're
I just need to. I need to find a place that has them and I can go and try it on before I... buy it. Because my Moto 360 is on its last legs.
Do y'all have any Nordstrom's anywhere?
What's Nordstrom's?
I think they're like a clothing place. Nordstrom apparently sells them.
I'd have to Google it.
I think it looks like Belk's does too.
I know we have a belt. I've never been to a belt, but I know we have one.
You may want to go to Belk's and give that a go, because it looks like Belk's may have them in store.
Okay. Part of me is holding out, thinking that Google will eventually release a smartwatch.
I'm sorry, the one you're looking at is the Gen 3 Sport. you.
And Wallow found Fossil.
The Fossil one.
Oh, okay.
I see this as more more of the Devon watch than the Huawei. I feel like Huawei is more like my style. And I feel like this is more up your alley.
Yeah. Plus, but again, with my 360 dying, I'm getting more into the I'll compromise phase. Just because I've gotten so used to my smartwatch after 2 years, I don't think I could go back to not wearing it.
Well, this is all of your requirements, except it doesn't have the NFC. That's the only thing. It has heart rate.
It's not huge.
It's not gigantic. It has swappable bands. It has a microphone, wireless charging. It's waterproof on top of that. You can actually go swimming with this watch. It's so waterproof. They have a swim tracker. So, and it's completely round. So, I think this is a good step up for your Moto 360.
Telegram me that link.
Will do. And it's not it's not oppressively expensive either. It's $275.
Yeah, well, with my watch, I still have 6 months of warranty on it at Best Buy, but they no longer sell the watch. So to do check into my warranty, they would just give me the $300 back.
And that would cover this watch. And Fossil has
I think we all covered everything in the show notes, surprisingly.
There's one more thing.
Oh, that was there?
Yeah. Google has announced a new platform. They've announced a Echo Show kind of platform. It's a new smart display platform. For those who don't know, the Echo Show is like a Amazon Echo with a screen on it that will show you different things like music lyrics and videos and Netflix and daily news. Google's announced their own. They're partnering with like JBL and Lenovo. They're kind of designed to be like put on the nightstand. So it's kind of like the next step up from Google Assistant. So like, if you ask what your daily commute is like, it'll show you a map of what the traffic's like. Or if you ask for a recipe, it'll show you like different things that you can cook, and then you can tap and see pictures. You can watch YouTube videos. It'll show you photos from Google Photos. It'll show you news headlines. Different app makers will be able to build apps. You can make duo calls if you want to. You'll be able to control like your smart home stuff, like you can like view your Nest Cam from it. Devin?
Yeah.
You okay?
Yeah, I've just zoned out a little bit.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. I'm barely holding on.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. I'll start wrapping this up. But anyway, it's a Google Home with a screen on top of it that you can touch. So it's supposed to be like more of an appliance. It's not like having an Android tablet in your kitchen. It's kind of like designed just to pop information up, and it's card-based, so you don't have to maintain anything. I really like the idea. Looks like Lenovo's making two of them right now, a 7-inch and a 10-inch. The 7-inch is $200 and the 10-inch is $250. I really want one of these next to my nightstand, especially to be able to see photos whenever I wake up or go to bed.
More cat photos.
Oh no, I want to see photos of like my family and yeah, my cat. And I would like to be able to like watch like the news briefing. So I really like the Echo Show a lot, but I like this thing even more because it runs Google Assistant, and I have chosen Google Assistant, and I have a special place in my heart for Google Assistant now because I love my Mini so much. So I'm looking forward to this coming out later in the year. I just have two of them. But yeah, I think that was the last of it.
All right, that was a lot.
one of our longest episodes, so let's go ahead and start wrapping this thing up. anything else you want to talk about with CES, or are you all CES'd out?
I'm pretty CES'd out. I mean, CES happens during the busiest time of the year for me. So I actually didn't pay that much attention this year. Just see, because all of my coaching responsibilities got the best of me.
See, same thing kind of happened with me because it was the beginning of the semester. So like during lunch breaks, I would open up Feedly and go, pocket, 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 pocket. Like all, anything like remotely interesting. And then I would go back and like 3 days later, look at everything.
Yeah.
And I still feel like I probably missed some stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I was generating the show notes, there was so much we'd thrown in from the week. And then I still had like 20 Chrome tabs of stuff to read that was cool and events I had to give up.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, that being said, let's go to our pick of the week segment. This will be quick. Sticking with the Google theme, my pick of the week is an application actually I recommended my mother use because we're doing yearbook stuff for my sister now. We're about to like submit like, hey, she's graduating, so we're going to do a little special yearbook thing. And my sister is that age that I think she was 8 when we got our first digital camera, so from like 8 on, my mom has digital photos of her, but before that, it's all film-based. And this is a problem because I just happened to leave town whenever she was looking for photos. But I was, my mom like sent me a photo. She's like, hey, I found this photo. Where can I go scan this in? Do I go to like Walgreens or Target or whatnot? And I was like, hey, I have an idea. Give this app a go on your iPhone. It works on iPhone and Android, and it actually worked really, really, really well. Like, it came out probably about 6 months ago, and we may have talked about it a little bit, but it didn't come back to it.
I think we talked about it a little bit.
It was, like, okay when it first came out, but it's gotten so, so, so much better. It's called PhotoScan by Google. It works on Android and iPhone, and what it does is you get a traditional photo, and you take the light, like the little LED flash on your phone will light up, and it will make 4 dots. And you basically hover over the 4 dots in the photo, and it will take 4 separate shots of the image that you're scanning in and then combine them. And then it'll automatically save to either your camera roll or Google Photos instantly. But it works really well. I didn't have, like, my mom scanned it, and it looked like she had scanned the photo from a flatbed scanner, and it was super easy to use. Like, I sent her the link to Google Photos, she downloaded it with Touch ID, and she was super excited, because, like, it's, like, literally a one-button interface, and it's so easy that she was able to scan a photo, and then she was able to instantly text it to me. And then, since it saved her a camera roll, she figured out that she could post the same photo to Instagram. So now my mother can scan in old photos. It's a completely free app. It's called PhotoScan. I'll include it in the show notes.
Yeah. All right, for my pick of the week is called Timelapse Tool. I use the pro version as of yesterday. And so basically, it makes time-lapse videos really easy. Previously, I'd been using Premiere, and, well, it works great, but you have to pay for it, and it's really complicated, especially if you don't know how to use it. What Time-lapse Tool does is it's just interface. It grabs, you can import your photos in sequences, and then it stitches it together, and it's just super intuitive. You can set your speed, and it's play, pause, and export. And then, of course, there are a whole bunch of advanced features if you want them. But if you don't want them, there's 3 buttons.
nice.
And of course, you can export directly to Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, all from the app.
Hmm. Very interesting. So, does this come with your GoPro, you said?
No, this doesn't come with my GoPro.
How did you find out about it?
I literally Googled time-lapse software because I had gotten so... the software that comes with the GoPro is awful.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is why I started using Premiere, because I already paid for it. It's like, I'm going to use Premiere. And Premiere is great for video editing, and I use it all the time for when I get stuff from work that they need me to make.
Yeah.
But for just basic time lapses, it's too much.
It's a little overkill.
But yeah, this time lapse tool, it's free if you want just basic stuff, or if you need more advanced things. It's $69 for a personal license, and it supports up to 4K.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, the free version only supports up to, like, what is it, 480? Or something like that.
Hmm.
But.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's simple, and it's, yeah, 480.
Standard definition for old school folk.
Yeah. So, yeah, $69 for up to 4K, and it's amazing.
Oh, very nice. So, this has been a long day.
Also, I downloaded it because I made this little mistake of forgetting to plug my GoPro in. So, I had three different time lapses of the same print that needed to be stitched together. And I couldn't do it in the GoPro software. So, like, I need to do this, but not like that. And this came up, and it made it really easy, and I've been using it ever since.
Oh, very nice. So, you timelapsetool.com?
Yeah.
Very nice. All right. So, long episode, but I feel like we got through a lot of stuff at a good pace without falling apart, so that's good. Yeah. All right. So, where can we find you on the interwebs?
On Twitter and Instagram, you can find me at DevinJCR. And if you are into 3D printing at all, find me on Thingiverse at Catholic Robot.
Very nice. You can find me on all the social things at Hobie Hennig, including Medium, Twitter, and Instagram. So, yeah, I think this is overall a good episode.
Hope you enjoyed it. Stay curious.